Welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by daytimeconfidential.com. On today's show, we discuss Ding Dong, the Witch is Gone. We know you're going to enjoy because we sure are, so stay tuned. Jamie, welcome.
Great intro, Luke.
I have to admit it was inspired by Reagan's text. Reagan, welcome.
Hello.
And Jillian, welcome.
I just don't understand why you people don't like Maria. Y'all?
Wait. I think we have...
How do you solve a problem like Maria?
Wait, I think we have a message from her herself. Hi, everyone. I'm standing here right now between Peter Bergman and Eric Braeden, who wants to headbutt Peter Bergman. And on the other side of me is Melody Thomas Scott, who I couldn't balance the budget well enough, so we had to write her off like for 8 months out of the year, like twice. But she still loves me. They all love me. Everyone here loves me. They all told me that my vision board that I keep in my office was awesome. Like, awesome sauce was actually the word that Greg Rickhart used. He said awesome sauce. He did. He really did. Christoph St. John told me that no one, not even my father-in-law, the great Bebel, my mentor, my muse, I'm his protege. He taught me everything I know. Christoph said that
back and forth, huh?
No, that is not what he said, Jillian. I know that you hate me, Jillian. I remember you, and you were asking me those hard questions in the press room, and I did not appreciate them. But no, said to me, he said, no one, not even your father-in-law, Bill Bell, your mentor, your muse. No, I'm his muse. I was his muse from the moment I married into this family.
He's his muse. We all muse.
Christoph said to me that no one had ever written the type of passionate, informed storytelling for an African-American...
No, for the black. The
character storyline, the black story. Yes. No one had ever. Not Bill, not that Agnes Nixon... who never accepted any of my spec scripts for all my children. So I showed her.
Cliff.
Cliff and Nina and everyone that I get to write for, and Eric and Kane, they all were here.
Maria, that's for all my children. You know you
shut
like
up.
Young
you are not on the board of directors of Mocha, so I do not think anyone needs to hear from you right now.
Oh, she's supposed to vote. No, I'll tell you about that later.
I want to thank everyone for the profundity of comments that they all said about me and how wonderful that my storytelling and my vision.
Cut a mic, Luke!
And I just want you to know that it will be my treasure to know that I kept Young and the Restless number one. Yeah, there's that pesky fact that it's been number one since 1988 and there are only four soaps in the air, but it is still the number one soap in America!
Maria, may I ask you a question?
Who are you? You watch General Hospital. I don't know anything about that show.
Well, I just wanted to ask why nobody from your cast has publicly spoken out on your behalf.
They're bashful. They're a really bashful cast.
Michelle Stafford, bashful? The hell you say, bitch?
Bashful. Michelle Stafford cried. She was so verklempt that she...
Are you sure they weren't tears of joy?
No. Everyone was up. The janitor came up to me and said, I have never cleaned out trash more prolific and and groundbreaking
so
than yours.
Is your the epitome of your work the chipmunk outfit?
That was a storyline that did not dumb down storytelling, for your information. And Bill Bell, my mentor, my god, my father... because he really is my father, not Billy and Bradley's, and that bitch Laura Lee.
Okay, Jamie, can you come and get her? Thank you very much.
My father once did a story where, like, Victor fed people rats. A rat is a rodent, Luke, just like a chipmunk. So I was paying homage to the history of this show. I was
That's
his
not dude. Stupid at all.
I was
right.
His protege, not Jay Alden, not Sally Marino. It was me, you fucking sons of bitches, Sony Tell.
James Franco, and now that bitch has my job. And you know that I had to show her around my studio, my birthright, my legacy. What is right about that? We're all mystified here today at the set of The Young and the Restless. And I'm going to go on Facebook again and drink as much rubbing alcohol as I want and continue to talk about it.
In other news, Jill Farren Phelps is now the executive producer of The Young and the Restless.
Hi, right. Jill Phelps. I'm glad you mentioned me. I've got plans for The Young and the Restless. Oh, my God, the things I'm going to do. First of all, who is that old lady? I didn't know Cloris Leach was on our show.
First thing that's going to happen is James Franco is going to show up.
Look, I'm telling you my vision here. This Katie Chandler, whatever her name is, yeah. First episode, I'm going to have the little girl, I don't know her name yet, she's the pretty little thing, Mossy Wickott, Rylan, I think her name is, I'm just learning the names. But yeah, her character is going to run over the old bitch. First episode. You know, I have it all set up. It's going to be beautiful. We're doing away with this naughtiest theme. You know, what is that? No one wants to hear that. What is that? Boom, boom, boom. No. You know, I've been looking at a lot of hot stuff that's going on in prime time and, you know, like the Jersey Shore and stuff.
Why does she sound like she from New York? Ain't that ass from L.A. or somewhere?
My accent doesn't matter, Jillian. It's what I'm going to do. And what I'm going to do is what I did in Another World. We're going to snazz up that.
Someone going to be in a tree. You're gonna
kill a beloved character in a brutal way.
I did not put the baby in the tree on Another World. That was Christopher Gautman. What I did at Another World was, okay, I killed the Frankie Frame bitch and these stupid and keep talking about it. So what? Who cares? You know, but I've got big plans for this show. First of all, who is this grandpa from the Titanic movie? Like, he is so not supposed to be driving story on a soap opera. He's supposed to be driving story at Sunny Acres. He's got to go.
I have a question for you. What's going to happen to Jeannie Francis?
Jeannie. Yeah, Jeannie. I see that Edie is still walking around kind of frumpy in my and matronly. And yeah, she's gotta go. You know, I have no problems with Jeannie. People think I have problems with this one and that one. I don't. But basically, we're going to find out that Jeannie's character is really a man, a Mexican man, and A. Martinez has already agreed to come on board to play him. So that's the first thing we're going to do. And I'm trying to figure out, let's see, Nicholas Newman, you know, that guy, yeah, he's popular and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, Timothy Gibbs is somebody that I think would be a good fit on this show. And as for Jack Abbott, you know, I'm thinking Cale Brown.
Jesus!
I mean, what's wrong with that? What do you don't like Cale Brown? What's your problem with Cale Brown,
girl,
huh?
Y'all seen what Cale Brown look like these days?
He looks better than that grandpa they've got sleeping with that Sharon Case, who I think my Jensen Buchanan might be a better fit for that Sharon character. We'll see. I'm not saying I'm getting rid of anybody yet. You know.
What's going to happen to Victoria?
Who's that?
The one with the bad hair.
Show. You think I've watched the show? Look, I've never watched The Young and the Restless. What are you talking about? It depends. You know, if she becomes a friend of Jill, we'll see. You know, it depends.
And if she doesn't, Nancy Lee will play her.
You have studied. Number one, though, I am fixing these shitty sets. Oh, my God. I tuned in a couple of, I guess it was like a year ago, maybe 6 months ago. I was at home. I was depressed. I'd been fired from GH, and I saw somebody falling into a volcano that looked like something my kid made with a paper mache kit. That won't be happening on my show.
What about that boulder?
There's a boulder? In Wisconsin? No.
Yeah, on the Newman Ranch.
Can we expect to see the mob?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. The mob's going to kill off everybody over 50. First week of the show. You got to do the mob. Got to do the mob. The mob is such a quick way to get rid of people. The mob and serial killers. Basically, I'm just, you know, I'm playing it by ear. Going to do some focus group testing. And we'll see what turns up. So I'm excited. Thanks
all right,
for having
me. Okay.
Oh, hey, what's up, y'all?
So, Jillian, what do you think of Josh Griffith joining?
I think it's a good thing because Josh Griffith is a fantastic writer.
I got really my job back, Maria. Got my job back, bitch. Got my job back, Maria. You kicked me out, but I'm back. I'm Josh Griffith, and I am a rapper. I am telling you goodbye.
He's a really good writer, so it's gonna
be thank
really
you girl
good. He's gonna be really good. It's gonna be a good fit for the show. I mean, people need to go back and review the timeline that he was on YNR and just Google or YouTube those episodes, and he's gonna be really good, you know, with Jill being there. You know, I'm on the fence with that because on the one hand, we know how to cage bird terrorize soaps. So one part of me, I was like, oh, Lord, I said, Melody Thomas, you are gone. But then, you know, I was talking to someone and they were like, no, I don't think she's gone. You know, Eric Braden and Jeannie Cooper. I'm like, you better Google Anna Lee. Because Anna Lee could tell you, she could come from the grave and tell you, bitch, your job ain't safe, honey. Trust. So
yeah. Now, the thing of it is, though, we've, you know, all joking aside, both Jillian and I have heard from separate sources that she will not get the free reign that she's had at other shows. So she's not going to be able to come in. So we've heard. Now, there are going to be cast cuts, but it basically...
I was going to say, what about rumors of a bloodbath?
The cast cut will probably be people that the fans... From what I've heard and what Jillian's heard, it'll be people that fans actually are happy to see go. But Sony is in control of this show now. Make no mistake. They are like, we're not doing this head writer get free reign stuff no more. Everything... you know, Sony did this. They've been trying to get control of this show for years, ever since Bill Bell first became ill. And
Maria screwing up so much, they got control of the show.
Yeah. Maria was the Bell's last ditch effort to keep control of their father's show, and she blew it. She royally blew it because of her ego. And, you know, I
have another question for you.
For me?
What about Daisy?
We don't care.
Nobody is thinking about Daisy. The characters.
Well, she ain't coming back. I will tell you this. Jill Farron Phelps, you know she liked them focus groups. From what I understand, Sony is like, why is this girl around? She sucks. And Maria was like, I don't think so. Them focus groups.
Maria kept thumbing her nose at authority. That's the thing. Bill Bell did not own The Young and the Restless outright. It was owned by Screen Gems, and then it became owned by Columbia TriStar, which then got bought up by Sony Pictures Television. It has a parent company. While Bill Bell was in good health, they gave him full control because what? He deserved it because it's just like any other takeover or, you know, a parent company.
Proved himself.
Yeah, they'll let you let the people who started the company control it as long as they know what they're doing. But, you know, when Bill Bell got sick, his planned successor was Kay Alden. They booted Kay Alden out. Barbara Bloom, you know, did that so that she could install LML, because that was, you know, Barbara Bloom wanted control of the show. You know, it's been a lot of infighting about control of this show over the years. But CBS and Sony were like, look, we ain't fit to fight. The two of us are going to team up to get rid of this.
It was like the Bloods and the Crips decided to join up to get rid of the Latin Kings. And, you know, from what I understand, and Jamie's heard this, like, Sony, I'm going to tell you how gangster Sony and CBS are. When Maria's contract was negotiated, she had total autonomy of the show, but they had a loophole saying, you know, we can fire you if we have cause, i.e. them ratings. And slowly but surely, we kept seeing the ratings dip. I mean, we've said it on here. We're like, the ratings.
I don't know what you're talking about. My ratings are stronger. As I said,
like Jamie and I said, you know, on a podcast before, Jamie was like, you know, how come she, you know, the ratings are dipping? How come she's not gone? From what I've heard, Sony and CBS decided to talk, and they were like, we're going to let her dig herself into an early grave. We're going to dig, she's going to dig herself into her own grave, because they know if they went to her right away as the numbers dipped, she could have easily been like, oh, there are tons of variables. But they waited and they let the show get to a certain point where they were like, look, we tried and we waited and look what happened. She had to go.
And you know, it's a sad, you know, I feel bad for Billy Bell Jr. tonight, because you know he is sleeping with one eye open, because he is the one, according to her on Facebook, he had to be the one to tell her, you know, baby sugar dumpling, look, he might have had on some Barry White. Look, she coming home, oh my God, you made dinner. Yeah, sit down, rest your feet. You know, well, now I have to go to bed early because I've got to go to work tomorrow.
You know.
No, you don't. You know.
While I have Barry White playing in the background, I'm never going to give you up. And she's like, what the fuck, dude? Man, from what I heard, like, Sony and CBS was like, look, you put her in charge, so you get to tell her she got to give you, we giving her the deuces. And
why would Billy Jr. ever? This is the thing. And, you know, there's a statistic from business schools that says that most family owned companies fail in succession, basically in the succeeding generations. And this is why, because it does, you know, on what planet did Billy Bell Jr. ever think his wife was capable to be the head writer of this show? Yes, she wrote for The Bold and the Beautiful back in the gap, like early on, into the family, and stopped writing for television and stopped writing, period. I remember when she first got the job, I kept seeing this in her bio that she was a novelist. I'm like, what book you wrote? I ain't never seen
you. I never seen it unless you wrote under a different name, buddy. Like,
no other person. Hogan Sheffer got to write As the World Turns because he had a development deal in primetime and film. What if she had never been married to William J. Bell Jr.? She never would have gotten the head writer and executive producership of The Young and the Restless and complete autonomy. The only people I know of who have had complete autonomy ever in this game have been Guza, which, you know, he probably didn't deserve it at the end either. You know, but at least he
Erna.
Erna really never had it, because they had this, they all, you know, there's really no such thing as complete autonomy, because Erna had to deal with P&G breathing down her neck at all times. You know, Bill Bell had pretty much complete autonomy. Agnes had it for a time. Why do you feel, Maria, that you ever deserved autonomy in your contract? Ron Carlovati doesn't have autonomy. Brad Bell has it because he deserves it. You know, he owns that show, like it or love it, you know. But what her credits, these are Maria Bell's credits. Miscellaneous Crew, The Bold and the Beautiful, 1989. Now, she tell everybody she was a writer on the show. It says fashion consultant.
She could have been a writer, sir. You need someone to write where Stephanie and Ridge have to sit at the table.
Costume designer, The Bold and the Beautiful, 1991. Those are her two credits before we get to producer, The Young and the Restless, and writer. You know, well, yeah, okay, she wrote for The Bold and Beautiful, 89 and 92. I don't understand how any of that. There are plenty of people we know that have written for daytime for decades.
Hell, I've got a better resume than that.
And whatever would have made them do this if she had not been married into this family. You know, early on when she was getting all the praise from us too, Josh Griffith was there for a lot of that early on.
See how sick she is?
Yeah, and you know, and she has been a mess ever after the first 2 years, which she basically just spent the first 2 years cleaning up all of LML's messes. then she started doing her own stories, and we got chipmunks and So Long Sister Killers and volcanic deaths.
And Laura Spencer biting Robert Scorpio's
TM, TCM knockoffs.
I mean, she's just done, you know, we got people, you know, Sharon getting sprayed with a crop duster in a field. We got Murphy and Kay's 80-something-year-old selves flying across the sky. You know, we got the most. And then when that heifer said on Facebook, I never dumb down storylines. Okay, so either you're a liar or you're stupid.
She's in total denial. She's in total denial.
You think that chipmunk story was smart, honey. If you did, you shouldn't have even been on public access TV. And I do know that that was her story idea. Everybody thought it was Hogan's because we remember that Hogan did wacky stuff at World Turns. No,
yeah.
That chipmunk story was La Belle's idea.
I want to talk about Hogan for a second because that's one of the things that I've noticed. There hasn't been a whole lot of mention. What's his status?
I wouldn't be surprised if he gets the boot, too. Well,
I heard that, you know, I mean, it's up in the air, but mm-hmm. Someone pointed out to me today that, and this is good, the fact that I found this friendship out, I struggle in sharing this because I didn't know it. I don't know if our readers know it, and I hope they don't judge Josh harshly for this. But what? I found out today that Josh Griffith is very good friends with Christopher Galtman.
He better not be coming in.
No, that's why I hedged it.
Because with all that writing at Guiding Light.
I hedged even bringing that up, but he's...
But I'm just saying, not to cut you off, but remember, Chris was sniffing around and Maria put the she put the barks on that, so...
Jill is not going to have somebody else of that stature, you know, in her neck of the woods anyway. But no, what I'm trying to say is, Hogan and Chris are friendly. So there is some thought that, you know, and Josh and Hogan are friendly from what I've heard. But it might be a situation where it's not about friendship or whatever. It could be a situation that they don't need Hogan anymore because Hogan doesn't write scripts or breakdowns. So unlike what happened with GH, where when Ron came over, they just demoted Garen Wolf back to script writing. Garen Wolf, say what you know, he had multiple skills that could be demoted down to. I know he wasn't a good head writer, but I'm saying practically he knew the form. Hogan Schefter is not a script writer for soap operas. He writes long story. He doesn't write scripts or breakdowns. So, you know, if Josh doesn't need a co-head, then he doesn't really, you know, he might not have any use for him. But I mean, we'll see. I mean, there's speculation that Josh will bring on more of his own, you know, create a new team, and every head writer does that, and I don't blame him. You want to write with people you trust. I would hope that they bring in some people other, you know, that from the Y&R glory days, some Sally Sussman Marina, Kay Aldens, I mean, some Jack, I don't know, you know, I haven't heard much about Jack Smith in recent years. I don't know what, you know, I don't know anything, you know, health-wise or whatever.
Jack Smith, wasn't he with LML? Yeah, I thought he was with LML, and then he slowly got the boot, too.
Yeah, he was there when they are all of people, you know, because Jack was a Bill trainee, so.
Well, Reagan, as a General Hospital fan, what are your thoughts on Jill heading to Y&R?
You know, I think just from my brief time with Y&R and the people that I do know, even outside of our little world that watch it, that are not happy with the show, that the shakeup was necessary. But having said that, my experience with Jill, be careful what you wish for, because it could bite you in the ass. But something needed to happen on that show.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, like we said, you know, it's not going to be like how it was with Jill. You know, if Reagan was on the show and Reagan look at Jill sideways and Jill's like, I don't like that Salura bitch. She gonna die today. It ain't gonna be like that because Sony and CBS is like, the hell you say.
Right.
So.
I think it's a good move. At the end of the day, if I had to say, if I was on a game show, it's like, this is how I look at it. Y&R has 2 years left in their contract. You know, basically from September. They have 2 years from September. So if this is a bust, somebody was telling me, it's not like Sony is going to give them longer than, if in 6 months, if they have not turned the ratings around and the creative control and the creative quality has not drastically improved, you can bet your sweet bippy that the, and especially after 5 soaps have been canceled in the last 5 years, there are so many head writers like outside. It's like an episode of Vampire Diaries. You got head writers right outside the gate with their fangs popped. Talk about it. Look, here's Sony. Look, all of them out there behind the gates, you know, with some of them scary because, you know, there are some good ones, but then, you know, it might be Dita Higley out there.
But see, I also thought of this. I also thought of this. You know who also is Jill's ace? My mind flashed to who?
Guza?
No, let me talk. My mind flashed. No, Guza and Jill fell out, boy. My mind flashed to Megan McTavish.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is the thing. And we, you know, there's been all this. It's almost like
they gonna kill Nikki by an Oreo cookie. Oh,
it's a lot of deja vu because fans get mad with the revolving door. But at this point in the game, it's gonna be the revolving door because they're not really these show. They're not really all in the business of the longevity of this genre because they pretty much all know that it doesn't have that long. So they're just trying to keep the machine going. So they're not going to bring in any new blood because the learning curve on soaps is so long that, you know, it's like they need somebody who can come in and keep that show going. And they know that Jill can do that. You know, they know that she can do it.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Sure.
So how are they budget-wise? Because, I mean, GH under Jill's watch wasn't always doing the greatest budget-wise. And that's one thing that bringing in Frank Valentini was a benefit to GH because he does wonders with the show's budget.
Well, GH went over budget because of all that CGI and special effects and stuff like that. But Y&R has a much bigger budget than GH did because Y&R is a higher rated show. So, and Y&R also makes a lot of money overseas. It doesn't make as much as B&B, but Y&R is like a primetime hit in Canada. So the Bells have, and you know, that's one thing that Bill is in charge of that he does very well. He's distributed that show, you know, out the wazoo. So they have a bigger budget, you know. Y&R newbies were, when I started hearing the breakdowns of
how much people get paid.
When I first started hearing about Y&R's people who were cut, and they were cut to 5,000, and I'm like, that's more than Robin Strasser was making, and she was a legend, dude. You know, I mean, so Y&R, they kind of, you know, that show has been living off the fat of the lamb.
But you know, they just like, you know, everybody else, they're gonna have to trim the fat because their even though they have a bigger budget than GH, their budget is still bloated because Maria keeps adding all these people.
And people always say, oh, it's so much cheap. Well, it's cheaper to get, no, you know, yeah, it's a different pot of money, but these, you know, Daisy Duke is not on that show for free. Daisy, and Gary Ewan, and
Brett Butler,
they ain't working for free. You know, that's money. You know,
that's what I keep trying to. Well, you know, when people keep saying, "Oh, prime timers, they always come there." You don't get it. When Maria took over, see, this is where you people don't get it. When Maria took over, she said it either had to be Don Diamant or Doug Davidson so they could stay afloat. She got rid of Don Diamant, and then she started bringing on all these prime timers and all these other people that caused grip. So, which one is it? Was Don Diamant making so much that?
So we see this over and over again. You know, I first started noticing it with Guiding Light. Oh, we can't afford to keep Ed Bauer and Michelle and Danny and Ross. And then, you know, we get that stupid wench bringing on all these other people. And, I mean, and then as the world turns, we can't afford Martha Byrne. You know, they lost Martha Byrne over her guarantee. They wanted to take her, I think her guarantee was 3 days maybe, and, you know, it might have been 4, but they wanted to take her down to 2 days. Oh, but we can't afford to pay her her guarantee. You couldn't afford Martha Byrne, but you could afford AJ Allen and Lucy Quartermain. General.
Well, and I want to touch on a couple different angles of this. What, in your opinion, do you think Hollywood Heights played in Jill Farren Phelps making it onto the
I think it,
soap.
It definitely played a factor because Sony owns Hollywood Heights. You know, they already were in business with them. They're impressed by what they did with Hollywood Heights. Hollywood Heights is not a runaway hit by any stretch of the imagination, but it's I saw that a most recent episode was watched by 800 and something thousand viewers, and for TV Land, and for I'm sure that, you know, I'm sure it's a cheap budget. I mean, my God, Brittany Underwood is the top star, so it's, you know, they're not really shelling out a bunch of loot with casting budget. So they probably have looked at it and said, okay, these people can put out a soap opera on the cheap and, you know, not have to deal with a bunch of drama. Also, Jill is a company girl. Jill knows how to it is a reason why Jill Farren Phelps manages to keep, you know, an insider, a friend of mine was like, boy, that Jill always lands on her feet, you know, and she does. There's a reason why this woman keeps getting these gigs, and it's because, yeah, she might piss the fans off, but she know how to make the bosses happy until they figure out, you know, that she's messed up. But, you know, and she's not, you know, this is the thing about Jill Farren Phelps, and I joke about it a lot. Yeah, she killed off several of my favorite characters on Another World. She did, you know, she had Eden raped by her gynecologist on Santa Barbara. You know, she did a bunch of, you know, Lord knows she, you know, the whole Quartermain thing, I don't lay at her feet. A lot of fans do. ABC wanted that done. So, you know, I could have been the executive
producer.
Jill
was just the scapegoat. Yeah.
ABC would have said, you got to kill him. So, you know, that the ABC wanted them gone. So, you know, she's done a lot of bad stuff, but she's also done good stuff. And I will say, and of course, I was not watching Guiding Light when Maureen Bauer was the heart of the show. So it didn't bother me. You know, I started watching Guiding Light in like 92, 93.
Oh,
so
I remember, yeah. That was
it
sad.
Didn't bother me, you know. So that didn't bother me because I had no affection for her. But I get it because I did have affection for Frankie Frame and Ryan Harrison.
Yes. I did too.
So I got their outrage, but I loved Guiding Light during the Jill Farren Phelps years. That was when, you know, that was Raja and Mindy and all that stuff
was going
on. Camp and Jilly and David and Kat. I mean, I loved her version of Guiding Light. Alan Michael, Jenna, and Buzz. I mean, I loved it. I truly loved her version of Guiding Light. So I'm hoping, because I really want to try to be positive. When I'm looking at this, I'm like, maybe we'll get Guiding Light Jill as opposed to Another
World.
Or
I think, you know, well, maybe Jill will. I don't want to say it because on the one hand, I'm like, maybe she will do right because it's only so much times you can take getting the boot for screwing up a show for you not to be like, okay, I get it. And then, you know, it just may be a situation where Jill's like, look, bitch, it's my house. So.
Again, you've still got 2 years. They've got 2 years left of CBS contract. They're making CBS happy, which is a big thing nowadays. It's like if CBS wants her gone, you need to get Maria gone. So if they can get CBS happy, that's all that matters because CBS at the end of the day is the one that's going to make the decision of do we want to license this show for another – look, the next contract will probably be for a year. But I'm like, it's going to be – you know, if CBS is cool with it and the ratings go up and, you know, Jill is very good with telling younger stories. So, you know, see where it goes from here. I'm cautiously optimistic. I feel something had to give. I've been writing in my column that Y&R has gotten better in the last month or so. You know, the stories have started to gel a little bit. The craziness has kind of gone away. But I looked at that show today just, you know, because I started looking at it again as with an analytical eye. And I'm like, why are there scenes with Gloria and Daisy Duke and Gary Yoon? Why are these people on my screen? They all need to go. Those three people need to go. Why am I caring about Stephen Nichols? He needs to go. There's two other shows that need him.
Be careful what you wish for.
You know, shows that need him. GH or Days would be better suited to him right now.
Oh, I would love Stefan Cassadine back.
Well,
in the hospital.
You know, look at you.
Why are half those people on that show? They need to go. The storylines are so
You're going to get your wish soon, trust.
It's like
who? Me?
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Jeannie.
No, you're wanting her back at GH. No, we don't know.
No, I don't mean Jeannie. I don't mean only Jeannie.
I didn't say Jeannie. I said Steven.
I said you. I'm talking about Jamie saying people need to go. I'm saying you're going to get your wish soon because a lot of them are going to go.
Yeah, I've heard there's going to be some cuts, and it needs to happen. I mean, you can't. All these superfluous people she's brought on, you know, all of that law and order. Freaking Genoa City crap she does with these. There have been so many. Everybody on the cast of The Young and the Restless has been charged with murder in the last year. Everybody. Sharon.
Segundo.
It's like every. And they keep bringing back poor Shane Lewis from Guideline. What's his name?
Jeff Branson.
Jeff Branson. And he has to have the poor distinction of playing the stupid cop in these stories. It's like, this isn't Young and the Restless. There was Young and the Restless never even used to have any cops and lawyers. The lawyers always dealt with everybody.
Wasn't it John Silva?
Yeah, but that's what I was about to say. They were business lawyers. John Silva helped Jill get 20% of Jabot from Old Man Abbott and stuff like they were all business lawyers. Mitchell Sherman. Now everybody is a DA. That's not YNR. YNR is not that typical stupid soap opera town where everybody has, you know, where the DA and the cops are all. YNR never even had any. You know, Paul's daddy was a cop, and then Paul was a PI, and then what Andy had a, you know, Paul had a brother who was a cop, but that was back way in the 80s. YNR was about two rival corporations, and everybody, you know, it was the rich people, and then everybody else worked for the corporations, and it was like, you know, it was it was so great. It was one of the best eras of Y&R for me was when Jabot was bought by Newman, and then half of the basically everybody in town either worked for Jabot or you know, they, you know, it's like you had Ryan and Neil who became best friends because they were junior execs, and you really believed that they worked their way up from the mail room and stuff like that. And you know, now it's just all, you know, Luke said it in his soap bites the other day, these corporate stories. Now, you know, I used to be so invested in those YNR corporate stories to where you would have thought I held stock in Jabot. Now I'm like, Jabot, Beauty and Nature, the new style company that Kevin and them are starting in their bathroom. It's like none of it even makes any sense anymore. There's no cohesion.
Well, on behalf of someone who started a website out of my bathroom, I will ignore that comment and shift us to General Hospital. Reagan, what did you think of this last week? I'm pretty sure I saw a tweet in my tweet stocking.
Computer is always so sticky. You started it in your bathroom.
that's not the reason why your computer's sticky. What did you think of General Hospital this last week?
I'm really just loving this show lately. I'm sure we could find little things to gripe about, but GH is just so back on point for me. It's just, I just love it. I love Todd Manning. I love him to death. I love that he is on my screen every day.
Robin
back is
back and alive, actually alive.
Woo! That is fantastic. Jason Thompson has been fantastic in all of this.
Robin is pulling a Reva Shane Lewis. You remember when Reva, her ghost came back and
started
messing up Josh and Andy, and then we found out Reva was alive, and they explained it with the whole, my spirit separated from my body and went to tell Josh I was alive. And I said, wait a minute, that right there is some hoodoo, voodoo, shoodoo stuff.
Sure.
And now Robin Scorpio is doing it too. She projected herself, a hologram of herself.
But even as
the Tupac hologram.
But even as crazy as the, you know, Heather shoots up Olivia with LSD and all that crap,
which was awesome in a Marty Staples way.
Yeah. I mean, all of that was just, I mean, it's just been fantastic. I don't know. I can't find anything that really, I say that annoys me about it enough to
memo to certain fans, though.
To bitch about it, you know?
Well, speaking of that, memo to certain fans who are like, why are they bringing Robin back if they killed her off? Did y'all miss when Kimberly McCullough said in the Daily Friggin' Beast that she wanted off that damn ship when Garen Wolf was helming and she was like, fuck y'all, I'm out.
What and did you miss?
She said, fuck you all, I'm out into the Daily Beast.
No,
yes, Luke, she did. And then she
and
said,
did you also miss where she sat down with Frank and Ron and she really liked them and maybe we'd see her again.
Right, and she said when they came on, she was like, at first Kimberly was like, oh shit, maybe I made a mistake. And then she was like, screw it. I'm like, what part of the
and
girl?
And she wants
all?
To be a director. She's been saying that for years.
For years.
Kimberly McCullough has always said that when she got to a certain age and point in her career, she wanted to transition over into directing. Now she's saying that, you know, if her other time, you know, trust me, Frank and Ron would put her back on contract in a heartbeat if she wanted that, and she does not. She will appear as her schedule permits. And I think they found a brilliant way to use her because this is going to launch a new story for Anna. I'm hearing Anna's partner in crime, Robert Scorpio, might be on his way back.
Well, he needs to leave Miss Claire all in Genoa City because I will have Frank
about Robert needs to come back with gray hair. I'm going to say that now. Tristan Rogers, I love you. Don't put that dark and lovely rinse on your head. Not dark and lovely. That's a perm. What is that stuff? Don't put that on your head.
Just for men.
Because goat gray. He looks great as gray haired.
So
you know.
Anderson Cooper is called the Silver Fox. He's fine with silver
hair.
I'm
hearing Robert is on his way back. More than likely.
What's in store for Robin and, or not Robin, but Patrick and Lulu? Because to me, it's just like they're spending way too much time together for it not to be turning into something.
I think it's a bit of Kim testing going on, but I mean, you know, I don't know if anything will really come of it because, you know, Lulu's already in the whole beginnings of a triangle with Johnny and Dante. But, yeah, there definitely is some Kim testing there. So I think I'd heard there might have been some with Maxie at first, but they kind of said, no, that would be kind of too skeevy. So that's why they interjected Lulu.
And I think now with Kirsten coming back, that maybe that's just a whole different – that might be a whole different deal, you know. Her and Jason may be different than if they were going to do Jason and John.
You know, that's one thing that – I can say that this modern age of fandom annoys the hell out of me when people are like, this person can't do that because they're in love with so-and-so. I see that so much with these John McBain and Natalie fans.
Oh my God.
It's a soap opera. People are supposed to have affairs and cheat and do scandalous things on a soap opera. Nobody wants to watch a show where a couple is just together.
Soap stars themselves have always said, if we're in a relationship, if I'm paired up with Luke and we're happy, that's not a good sign.
Yeah.
And the couples just be happy together. I love liaison, but if they were just together and like raising Liz's children and cooking dinner every night, I wouldn't want to watch that. You have to have
some kind of conflict.
My favorite couples of all time, Shane and Kim on Days of Our Lives, were forever being torn apart. He finds out she used to be a hooker. She don't think she good enough for him. Then she lose her eyesight because all the Brady girls had to lose a sense when they fell in love. Then she fucks Victor. Then she finds out, Victor might have been my daddy. So she's all freaked out about that. And then she finds out Victor wasn't none of her daddy. He was a brother Bo's daddy. And then she finds out she's pregnant. Is the baby Victor's or is it Shane's? Then Shane delivers the baby. Then the baby turns out to be Shane. But Victor still it's a soap opera! Nobody wants to see two people lollygagging around a screen. La 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 la.
We're happy. I can see where some soap fans.
People, our squish name that we've created can be happy forever. It's like, give me a break!
Well, I can see why
you mentioned
some soap fans get upset about it because, like, look at Victor and Nikki, for example. You know I'm a card-carrying fan, but after a while, I'm just like, y'all need to simmer down now and get it together.
Yes, but no, John and Natalie are not 78 years old. I always say the Mac and Rachel rule. If you look at Another World, by the time Mac and Rachel got married that third time, They were, look, I don't know who made the decision. Procter & Gamble, NBC, somebody said, okay, Mac and Rachel, y'all is together. We ain't finna do no more makeup to break up. Y'all are together, and the storylines are going to shift to Amanda, Jamie, and little Matthew. And y'all are just going to be kind of there to go, no, Amanda, quit being hoish and cheating on Sam. And no, Jamie, don't you get with that Vicky because she hoish. And then Mac is like, well, Rachel, you were hoish when I met you and I tamed you. You know, that's kind of where, but we don't see that anymore. Now, well, I'm going to tell you why we don't see it with people like Eric Braden, because he won't allow it. He will not allow himself to be treated as the patriarch. He still wants to drive story and grab the little young women on the booties and try to be some matinee idol. Who is 35? So we—that's the problem.
Well,
these days,
Jamie. Spoiler alert, people! Now that Jill Farron Phelps is there, that won't be happening anymore.
Jamie, earlier you mentioned cooking chicken, so let's talk about EJ and Will. What are you thinking?
I don't know what goes on in your mind, but cooking chicken is not something that comes to my mind when I think of EJ and Will. If that is what you relate to sexual behavior, my friend, then we need to kick you off the doggone farm immediately.
What did you think this last week when Will was defending?
I'm still torn. I'm like, chicken? I'm like, what'd you say? The chicken part out me bothered. What'd you say?
What did you think this last week when Will was basically doing everything possible to defend EJ?
If you ever cook chicken, that's nasty as hell. Chicken stinks. You have to pull.
Well, I was thinking about it a little bit more from the twink angle and that
chickens
type of
are
a thing.
Twinks? Chickens are
no,
twinks?
I was.
Chicken is nasty. Say whipped cream or strawberries. Or somebody talk about I'm finna cook you like some chicken. I'm gonna say, chip, please.
I'm gonna slap the shit out of you. I'm like, what?
So what did you think of the fact that Will and Sammy are both basically encouraging EJ to go on the run? And it, to me, it's like Sammy's antics are like, oh, this is just going to get EJ in trouble again.
Sammy got too many chicken nuggets. She need to have her ass in the house. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's awesome that mother and son can find something to bond over, like the fact that they both want to cook some chicken with EJ. you don't have to think about it. I mean, it happened, you know. That fool was trying to escape, and then the town exploded, and Sandy is up down the damn bridge like a fool. I mean, oh, Lord, days. Gary Tomlin, I've heard over the years about how these writers and producers get their point across by what they do.
They blew up the Horton Square, which was the...
No, Gary Tomlin was... You know, Gary Tomlin got fired so that they could do this reboot. So what does he do when he first comes back to town? He blows the whole doggone town of Salem up. He is like, oh, this is what I thought about your reboot. Boom!
Can't feel like a pimp!
Reboot. And look, everybody who rebooted and came back just about fit to go. Look, I done already resolved it. I'm like, my Jack Devereaux in 2 weeks probably going to have a boulder sticking out of his head. You know?
Roman, what's going to happen to Roman?
John and Marlena are sticking around, though. That's good.
Yes, he realizes you can't mess with John and Marlena now. But the thing of it is, I'm like, why did Carrie and Austin just get to leave town naturally? You know, I didn't want anything to happen to Carrie because that's my Carrie. I grew up with her. But
Austin could have been ran over with a Mack truck.
The minor boulder landed on Austin.
Austin, get out!
No, Austin, stand up. Austin, stand up. Forget to get down. We don't want him safe. I've wanted him dead since the moment he returned.
I don't want anything to happen to Austin. You asked about Roman. I don't want nothing to happen to Roman because until this show goes off the air, that's at least my comic relief. My Wayne Northrup is somewhere on a farm with Lynn Herring, his wife. And look, if I can't get my Lucy back on GH and my real Roman, at least Josh Taylor makes me laugh. You were at the gay bar. Now, I just want to know what the... Sammy, you knew he was at the gay bar? You knew he was staying there? Well, Lord, everybody, you were getting down, wasn't you, Will? I love Josh Taylor's reaction. reactions as it's become almost like as much as I complain about it. I'm like, if he leaves, it's gonna really be a sad day because I won't have anything to make fun of.
Get out, Will. What you mean you was at the gay bar? Now I don't know, Sammy. What do you know about this, Sammy?
No, Dad. I have 14 other children. I can't keep up with where Will is.
Reagan, what is your thoughts on B&B? Any improvement over last week now that we're post the wedding and now Marcus is...
It was very not too much of Liam Hope stuffy this week. I mean, granted, they, of course, were there, but it wasn't, you know, it was more so the PSA this week.
I don't know why I did such a thing.
Oh, it was terrible.
It was besides Daisy, which I apologize. I don't know her name, but besides her, it was a hospital room filled of terribleness.
But black people.
And I hate to say this, and I'm going to just ask this question, but if Reagan's calling it terribleness and Jillian's calling it black people, why can't they find better actors?
I did not say it was black people. She was talking about a room full of people, and I said they were all black people.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Better actors than Jacqueline McInnes Wood, then, Luke. Her white ass can't act either. It's equal opportunity.
It's like, come on.
There's plenty of white people that have been on in and out of the cast and upholding the beautiful that can't act.
We talked about all white actors who can't act the time.
Not the black ones too, but it ain't just that they can't find no black actors that can act. They can barely find anybody on the show that can act. Ron Moss is white as the drift snow, and he ain't never been able to act. He can't on that show. Can't act.
This and last week, watching Marcus was just awful.
Look at here, Crystal and Lloyd told me to tell you she can act circles around all of them, and so
she was the only good one in the whole room. But it was just the whole
diagnosed Stephanie with the cancer. She could act, but they don't bring her on anymore.
I felt like the poor girl was like struggling to be like, notice me, at least I'm good. Just look at me, everybody. It'll be okay if you just look at me. But
that show who can make that writing do anything, and that is Catherine Kelly Lang and Susan Flannery. The rest of them, I mean, look at the scripts. I love
Hush up. I think Heather Tom can
Heather Tom, Jake, Adrian Franz.
I don't know about all that.
Tom is all right.
I don't even like Brooke, so I can't stand the character so much that I could care less.
You watch it, Heffa!
We're talking about writing, though, right now, that I've never seen B&B's writing this sophomoric. I mean, it is so... That's my thing now. I can't watch a show where the dialogue is consistent. And that's the thing. It's like, as annoying as Y&R can be, the dialogue is at least decent and realistic. And people sound like... B&B, they sound so stupid.
I can't believe Marcus just ran me over like that and left. What type of person does that?
Texting and driving? Marcus! And I don't want any friends like Thomas and Caroline. Yeah, you know, you shouldn't tell her. It's your wedding night, little.
That reminds me. I need to pause this for a second. Reagan, what was your comment about Thomas?
That white girl can't act with Thomas. Thank you.
Oh, no, she can't.
Sure can't.
That boy's a freaking tease, though. God damn it. Taking off his shirt just to change it. Acting like he's going to... Huh?
He loved Jesus. And you ain't gonna see that next thing.
I told Reagan that he was another Steve Burton.
I thought where I'm like, oh, finally they're gonna do something.
See, when I start J. McGinnis International Productions Corporation and Bait and Tackle Shop, when I cast my first show, the first thing if I'm gonna look on them and say, oh, what is your religious preference? I'm a Mormon. Well, let me tell you right now, I ain't discriminating against you. You can be on my show if you're a Mormon, but I need you to go and strip naked right now and shake it. You have to show me that you ain't going to be
bullshitting when I tell you I got a love scene for you. I don't want to hear nothing about your God, your creed, or nothing else. If I tell you to put that sock on and get in the bed, you better do it.
I don't know. You know, I respect your religious convictions, but it's like, come on, dude.
This is a soap opera. You know,
you're an actor, period. You're an actor in soap.
B&B doesn't even do sex anymore. It's like the old B&B. Bill Bell was writing B&B. This would be the storyline. Liam would have screwed Steffi on the wedding day, and she'd be pregnant with his baby while he's married to Hope. Now, that's a story.
It's going to happen with Steffi. I think that is going to happen.
No, they didn't have sex. They both have said they didn't have.
There's no way they had enough time. I mean, even if they did, there's no way they had enough time.
Two-year-old boy, you can get a good quickie in real quick. But I think it was some wet naps. You know, you look, Reagan, come on now. Come on. You put her up against the wall, thrust about five times, you're done. You get your wet naps, and you go get married. Bada bing, bada boom. But, you know, I mean, that would have been the story 10 years ago. They had sex, and, you know, now she's pregnant with his baby, and now he's married. But it was like, now the story is, you made out with her on a wedding. That's not a story. That's not a story.
Oh, my God. If Bill was
stories on B&B. That's the problem. There are none.
If Bill was
any
consequence. Hope, Liam, Steffi. Hope, Liam, Steffi. Hope, Liam, Steffi.
Rinse, wash, and repeat. Like, I'm telling you, if Bill was still around, Bill would have had all of them hunching by now. You would have been like, damn.
There's psychological nuances. Brad tries, but it's like they're so vapid and interchangeable. It's like, these girls have no other point of reference, nothing else they care about. Steffi owns 25% of what is supposed to be, what we've led to believe, a premier fashion house. But all she cares about is Scott Clifton's Happy Trail. And I just thought,
I will say,
the majority stake, basically, who her and Steffi own pretty much the most stake, because, you know, Eric lost half of his in the divorce to Donna, and, you know, Donna sold it to Bill. So, you know, Steffi is she has the largest stake in that company. And all she cares about, yeah, they have her sitting at her desk writing with a pen, you know, I'm working. But all she cares about really is
a tracksuit.
You know, I want to kiss Liam. I want to smooch on Liam. It's like, this is not a story. And, you know, this is when older people, I'm sorry, I hate to go here, but when older people who are out of touch are like, oh, let's write a story for young people, this is what we get. I'm like, that's the young people care about more.
I'm really disappointed in Brad because, go ahead, sorry.
No, I'm just saying, young people care about, look at Girls, look at Awkward, look at The New Girl. Brad needs to watch some of these shows. Young people today are not, especially young women, it is not 1955 where women are like, I got to get a ring on my finger so I can set up housekeeping and get me a brand new dishwasher and a kettle.
It's the same show that, 2 years ago, Brad just went balls to the wall and had Brooke hunching against the wall with her daughter's boyfriend. And now we have...
And if Steffi is supposed to be the new... I mean, Steffi is supposed to basically be the new Brooke.
Child, please.
Why is she not sleeping with the men? Did she ever even sleep with Bill, or was it always just heavy petting and
teasing? No. They just made out.
They never slept.
Making out. What Vixen makes out? Vixens don't make out. Christina Blake Thorpe, when she got mad at her mama for telling Alan Michael that she was being dirty, and Alan Michael dumped her, Blake slept with her mama's husband and made sure her mama found out about it. That's a soap opera. Not
right, like,
out.
I would have liked to see Steffi sleep with Bill, and for her, like, you know, when what's her name? Katie. When Katie get up in her grill and be like, whatever, your man didn't mind it when we were steaming up that beach house.
bitch. Something.
Something to the effect of, well, you know, you have those heart problems, so maybe he thought your heart couldn't take it. You know, this just bitchiness, just soap opera. It used to be that way, and Brad used to write it that way. I will never forget when Brooke Logan was battling Macy for Thorne, and she sent Macy a bottle
some
of
booze, yes!
Champagne, and she knew that girl was a damn recovering alcoholic, and then Brooke waved at her with her little fingers. Where is that show? What is this? Why are Gidget and freaking Annette Funicello fighting over Moondoggy every episode? I don't want to see that.
Gidget and Skipper. You know, and I'm sorry. Like Reagan and I said it on the last podcast, Oprah has already beat it in our heads. Do not text and drive. Do not text and drive. Do not text and drive. I put my phone in my trunk. No, I don't. I don't text. But, you know, Oprah
this is 2 years too late.
Oprah has beat that in our head. It's like.
I don't want to watch Oprah no more.
No, but I'm saying. Like, you know, they've already instilled this in us. I would have liked the thing that Marcus was doing was that we found out that even though Marcus loved Daisy to death, and that is wifey, you found out that he was just doing Amber silly. That he's like, I love Daisy, but Amber got that good Daisy. Yes, you know, the reason why he ran down homeless Joe is because,
he was,
you know,
taking Amber.
Oh, yeah. Amber sent him a nudie pic, and he's like, dang. And, oh,
see,
shit.
That's good soap right there. Mm. See? But no, and then we get this old man, and I'm like, damn. You know, I ain't going to say how I would react to somebody. I'm like, hell, that's a vengeful old man, damn it. I get he mad that he ran him down, but I think if it was me, I'd be like, oh, well, it wasn't deliberate. He didn't see me and go, he is.
Do you think it's just coincidence that both B&B and Y&R are both having major storylines about people getting run down?
No.
On that note, no, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com.
Now, you can leave me hanging like that. I can tell you without a doubt. It is not. It is just a coincidence, because if Maria called up Brad, hey, Brad, I want to coordinate on stories, you'd hear,
no, you wouldn't. He would slap that phone down.
We're sorry. I don't want none of your ideas.
Oh, I have one last question before I go to talking about Twitter and Facebook. Just yes or no, instant reaction, the first thing that comes to mind. Should she come back to Y&R with new management in tow? Victoria Rowell, Jamie.
Yeah.
First thing that comes to mind.
Definitely. Yes.
Julian?
Copycat, he saw me say that on Twitter. Hell yeah! Click up. Damned.
Reagan. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DC Confidential. Add us as a friend on Facebook. Until next time. Ding dong, the witch is gone.
You know what? Saying that it's really sad. Everyone loves me. Everyone.
Yes, the mocha chimps love
me. The people who delivered my mail said they had never delivered mail to someone as iconic and visionary.